Now, a sensitive topic and a potentially upsetting and triggering conversation. A Pennsylvania grand jury released an extensive report last week detailing decades of sexual abuse of children by Catholic clergy.
The report found more than 1,000 children suffered abuse by some 300 priests at six dioceses in Pennsylvania. The release of the report shocked people across the country and has many Catholics grappling with their faith in light of the news. Our next guest is here to talk about how the church is handling the recent report and how Catholics are processing this new information.
Eileen Burke Sullivan is an associate professor in the Department of Theology and vice provost of mission and ministry at Creighton University. Eileen, welcome back to Central Time.
Well, thank you very much.
Tell me first, what was your reaction when this news came out of Pennsylvania?
Well, I was in Boston when the crisis there broke in 2001 and 2002, and that, I thought, sort of did me in some ways. But I have to say that this was a renewal of that experience. I was shocked at how similar it all sounded and how much of the same kinds of content in some ways were a part of the whole experience.
And what reactions have you seen to this new report among Catholics that you know? Let's start first at people who basically work in Catholic institutions and are working in their faith every day.
Well, and that would be a place like Creighton, which is a Catholic Jesuit university, and a number of our employees have mentioned their concern, and particularly younger adults are expressing dismay. And, it's when somebody, I've been around a little bit longer than some of them, and so I as I said, I experienced something very similar with the Boston crisis back in between 2000 and 2002, but that's now almost two decades ago, and so that there's a whole generation of adult Catholics who have matured, and you think that that there's nothing that could shock, but I just think that's not the case. I think the sheer quantity of this report and the fact that it hasn't been revealed until now are dismaying to people, to say the least. And I've heard, people that I think are pretty committed Catholics say that they're grateful that they are a little better educated in the faith and understand that the priests are not the clergy, are not the church. They're members, but they're not the whole thing, and so they don't feel that it's going to drive them out of the faith. But it certainly makes us sad and miserable, especially for the families that have suffered this kind of thing.
Well, and as you said, this is nearly two decades after the situation in Boston, and there have been allegations of abuse like this for years in the church. There have been other investigations, both within the church and without. There have been other disturbing conclusions. What is it about this report at this time that, like you said, seems to really be rocking people?
Well, I think there's several pieces. I think the size of it, the fact that it's six dioceses together in a fairly heavily Catholic populated area indicates that there's been a significant amount. I think, too, part of the problem, too, is that the report spans seven decades, which would span much of the same time as the Boston report, but then including the last two decades. And so I think people are frightened and angry that there have been any new reports since, say, 2000. That's outrageous, especially since the bishops committed themselves to doing something about it. And then I think the other big piece that I hear from Catholics is the anger that, again, and this was similar then too, but that those in authority, bishops especially, have known about this or have had some awareness and haven't taken good steps to protect children.
Well, and as you said, in the wake especially of the Boston scandal, there was a commitment from the hierarchy of the church saying, this ends now, we are, we're going to do whatever it takes. And yet, as we have found out, that was not the case, at least in the area, the diocese that are covered in this report. What had the bishops and the cardinals said that they would do if anything, that was concrete and what did or didn't happen?
Well, they had indicated very strongly that they would report to proper authorities any credible accusations, and that they would remove immediately from active ministry any priest or diocesan employee, lay or priest, lay or ordained. They would remove them immediately from any kind of public ministry, and certainly anything to do with children, but any kind of public ministry. And then they would report on each year on the numbers and outcomes and so on, at least to their own committees and one thing or another. I think probably what hasn't happened is that those reports, I'm not sure there's been a compilation. I'm not also sure that every bishop has done it, I think the biggest thing, and they said it back at that time, was that the committees who were appointed were very often appointed by the bishops and accountable to the bishops, and if the bishops were the problem, it's very hard to report to them.
Eileen Burke-Sullivan is an associate professor in the Department of Theology and also vice provost of mission and ministry at Creighton University. We are talking about the latest episode in the sexual abuse scandals that have rocked the Catholic Church. And Eileen, certainly, you know, there's no doubt that there are very good and honorable priests and bishops and cardinals in the Catholic Church. But this report found that about 300 priests in six dioceses abused approximately 1,000 children. That is a horrific concentration of abuse. What do you think explains that kind of widespread abuse and criminality?
Well, for one thing, you're looking at a relatively small number of priests, ironically, something like 3 or 4%, but they're serial abusers. They abuse many children, and the breakdown is that they are not identified and prevented from ministry, and that there is a kind of intuition about what children will not reveal, you know, them and so forth. Now, I can't imagine that parents today would not believe their children, but again, we're talking about a report that goes back seven decades. So if you look at, say, the first four of those decades, let's say, that the culture wouldn't have been as willing to, especially in a largely Catholic area of the country, wouldn't have been as willing to hear negative things about priests. I think in the most recent years, that would have been much more, that children would have been much more readily believed or accepted. I would find it hard to believe that parents wouldn't grapple with that. But then, you know, or schools. I mean, the mandatory reporting legally across the country has really sharpened since the Boston thing. So, you know, I'd have to break the report down, which I have not had an opportunity to do, but to really break it down much more carefully about what specifically has happened in the last 20 years and what numbers we're talking about in 20 years. Because it wouldn't be overwhelmingly different from, say, Boston, numerically or otherwise, to say 800 children those years and still leave 200, although 200 children in the last 20 years would be a disaster. I mean, I think it's a disaster, period. The numbers are horrific. You are correct about that. But it's clear that there's a serial behavior and, you know, the believability and the culture that surrounds it and so on. So I think that culture has changed largely in the secular, you know, in among families and so on, but maybe not in that part of the country. I'm not sure.
Of course, it's entirely natural to want to assign responsibility and blame for the situation, find out
sure.
who should have stopped this. And there are different theories as to where the blame lies. Bishop Robert Morlino of the Madison Diocese here in Wisconsin released a letter in light of the report where he blamed gay priests and homosexuality for the years of abuse. Is that a commonly held belief in the Catholic Church?
Well, because the number of circumstances are male-on-male sexual abuse, at least that are reported numerically, that would at least incline one to say that there are that perpetrators are operating out of a homosexual inclination of some kind. I've just read his letter, and I have to say that he kind of is clear. He does mention the homosexual issue, but he doesn't mention it as if it were alone. He speaks of any sexual expression outside of marital relationship, which would be male-female as well, or the entering of clerics into intimate sexual relationships at all, so to men or to women. And then he mentions, and I think wisely, that coercion or power, the use of power, is a part of this whole mélange of evil that's part of it. I think that it's problematic to go to either heterosexuality or homosexuality or gayness or straightness by itself. There's a whole set of issues of integration of one's sexuality in a healthy way, understanding. But what is problematic are groups of unhealthy sexual predators supporting each other, whether they're gang raping women or children or boys or girls or whatever the case might be. That kind of unhealthy predation by any group is genuinely sick, and it is evil. He names it correctly there. A too rapid movement to identify this strictly as homosexual is clearly problematic. On the other hand, to ignore that there is a substantial homosexual behavior, sexual operation here, and one would have to ask the question, are they not being reported, or are they not being attacked? I mean, is this, and certainly the seminarian on seminarian or priest on seminarian behavior is male, male on male, and I'm wondering how much of that is unhealthy sexual self-awareness and integration of any kind, and possibly therefore a substantive. And you think of the years of homosexuals being diminished and dismissed by the church for simply being, not behaving homosexually, but just by being homosexual. So that's changed. Fortunately, the church does not teach that being homosexual is evil, but it does continue to hold that homosexual sex is evil. But I'm wondering if there's been an adequate reflection about sexuality, period, in a lot of our seminaries, and if there is an attraction in some of the subcultures of the church to young men who are vulnerable toward the power of priesthood, and then have not adequately dealt with their own issues, that then they turn around and become predators.
And we're talking right now with Eileen Burke Sullivan. She's an associate professor in the Department of Theology and vice provost of mission and ministry at Creighton University. She's with us to talk about the future of the Catholic Church following a grand jury report detailing abuse by priests.
And you can join the conversation by calling 800-642-1234. If you are Catholic, how are you responding to the grand jury report? What do you think the future of the Catholic Church will be and your role in it? If you're a Catholic or if you're a former Catholic, what would need to change to restore your faith in the church? Call now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email us at ideas@wpr.org.
We'll continue the conversation in just a bit. Stay with us here on Central Time.
This is Central Time. I'm Chris Molina.
And I'm Judith Sears-Poisson. We continue our conversation now about an extensive report released by a Pennsylvania grand jury last week that detailed 70 years of sexual abuse of children and teenagers by Catholic priests. Our guest is Eileen Burke Sullivan. She's an associate professor in the Department of Theology and vice provost of Mission and Ministry at Creighton University.
And you can join the conversation by calling 800-642-1234. If you're a Catholic, what was your reaction to this report? What changes do you think should come to the Catholic Church? Has this news challenged your faith in the Church? And what questions do you have? Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email us, ideas@wpr.org.
And Eileen, Pope Francis addressed the issue over the weekend. Tell us what he said and what message he sent out to the Catholic faithful.
Well, I think he has iterated on a number of occasions very strongly that this is intolerable and that in no part of the world should children be victimized by anyone, and that it's up to everyone to be responsible for that. I think he also spoke very strongly that it would not be tolerated by authority and that they would do everything possible to make sure people are held accountable.
Were there specifics in how he's planning to deal with this?
I don't believe this particular letter was as specific as he'd like to make it, and I think he will make it specific as he goes along. But I think he has to deal with each national culture differently. And, I mean, obviously his role in the Chilean situation, where he called for the resignation of all the bishops, and they did submit all of them, submitted their resignations. He hasn't yet accepted all of them, but he has at least has their resignations in hand, is a major move. And if he would do that in the United States, it would be hugely dramatic. It would, because there are so many. I really don't know what specific steps, but he's quite capable of specific steps. So I would expect those in the next few months.
What can the Catholic Church do to reassure Catholic faithful that change and really concrete change is going to happen so that in another 20 years there is not another bombshell like this?
Well, I think various groups have put forward ideas. I'm not sure there's any very singular idea. Archbishop or Bishop Marlino certainly put together some strong suggestions and decisions for his own diocese and recommendations for others. There's several groups of clergy have spoken very strongly about things that they would expect. I would anticipate there will be other groups that will weigh in and say we should be doing this or that. I think without any question, the bishops themselves have got to come clean with recognizing that they cannot defend their own from if they have information and so forth, that they have to hold each other accountable. I would hope that they will develop independent reporting bodies within the faith community that are not going to depend on the bishop's favor or his approval. That's not been the custom in the past, and so it would be a major change. What do the laity need? I think they need to see, a real sense of transformation. I mean, really accurate reporting and a kind of generalized sense that things are better, and that that particularly children are being protected. But now I think they're very concerned about even college-level kids or young seminarians and so on. I mean, that's a very significant charge that has to be addressed.
Eileen, I want to go to our callers now, and Mike in Lake Mills is up. Hi, Mike.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I want to add a few things to the discussion. Number one, my principal, Father Kelly, approached me twice. Once when I was a freshman and once in my senior year of high school. And I remember my senior year, I told my mother it was the only time ever that she hit me. Well, washed my mouth out with soap and told me never talk about a priest like that again. Now, this was 1974, so, yeah, people didn't talk about it then. The next thing I'd like to ask is, number one, there is nothing, no research, no facts anywhere that state that men that rape and molest and torture little boys are homosexuals. The bishop likes to throw that word homosexual in there to divert the blame, not from the church, not from the priest, but on those dirty, filthy little homos.
All right. And we need to leave a little time here for Eileen to respond. Eileen, briefly.
Well, I mean, a closer reading of the bishop's letter doesn't exactly, I don't know Bishop Molino that well, but I would have to say that the letter doesn't support, you know, that strong a statement. I think the issue that you raise about 1974 was very much a parental culture. I cannot imagine parents in 2018 behaving the same way. But, you know, I suppose there would be some few. But that's why I'm surprised that there aren't sort of more watchdogs in the community, so to speak.
Well, Eileen, thank you so much for joining us today. Obviously, a lot more in this topic. Eileen Burke Sullivan is an associate professor in the Department of Theology and vice provost of mission and ministry at Creighton University.